Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Edible Economics, A Hungry Economist Explains the World by Ha-Jun Chang is an accessible tour of economic ideas using food as a practical lens. Rather than starting with abstract graphs or technical jargon, Chang begins with items many people encounter daily, from coffee and chocolate to rice, pasta, and processed snacks, and shows how each can reveal something about markets, globalization, labor, and inequality. The book draws on the author's reputation for clear, contrarian explanations and his interest in how real economies work beyond textbook ideals. It connects everyday consumption to bigger systems such as trade rules, corporate power, industrial policy, and the politics of development. The result is a guide that helps readers notice the hidden infrastructure behind simple choices at the grocery store or a restaurant. By linking taste, culture, and supply chains to core economic debates, the book invites readers to think more critically about what prosperity is, who benefits from it, and how policy choices shape what ends up on our plates. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, food is a gateway to economic thinking. A central idea is that food provides a concrete entry point into economics because it is universal, varied, and deeply connected to production systems. By following the journey of ingredients from farms and factories to supermarkets and kitchens, readers can grasp concepts like value creation, productivity, pricing, and the limits of simple supply and demand stories. Food also makes it easier to see how institutions matter. Standards, safety rules, labeling, and intellectual property can influence what is produced and who profits. Chang uses familiar products to show that markets are not just natural outcomes of individual choices, but are shaped by policy, power, and history. Thinking through food highlights how specialization and technology change work, why some regions climb the industrial ladder, and why others remain stuck exporting raw commodities. It also clarifies how consumer preferences are formed through advertising and cultural norms rather than existing as fixed facts. This approach helps readers build economic intuition without pretending there is a single correct model. Instead, it encourages comparing explanations, asking what assumptions are being made, and checking how well a theory fits the messy reality seen in everyday eating. Secondly, globalization, trade, and the hidden supply chain, the book uses global foods and ingredients to unpack how international trade and globalization actually function. A cup of coffee or a bar of chocolate can involve farmers in the global South, commodity traders, processors, brand owners, shippers, retailers, and marketing agencies, each capturing different shares of the final price. This opens discussion of global value chains and why being integrated into them does not automatically translate into national prosperity. Chang emphasizes that trade patterns reflect bargaining power, technology, and rules, not just comparative advantage. Tariffs, subsidies, and standards can protect certain producers while squeezing others, and historical decisions often lock countries into roles as commodity suppliers. Food examples also make it easier to see how shocks travel, such as weather events, wars, pandemics, or energy price spikes that disrupt shipping and fertilizer markets, raising food prices worldwide. Readers are guided to question simplistic claims that free trade always benefits everyone equally, and to consider how policy tools and industrial strategy can influence whether countries move from low-value activities into higher-value processing, branding, and advanced manufacturing related to food and beyond. Thirdly, corporations, marketing, and the power behind choice. Another major topic is how large firms shape what looks like consumer choice. In many food markets, a small number of multinational companies control processing, logistics, and branding, giving them leverage over farmers, workers, and even governments. This concentration affects prices paid to producers, wages and working conditions, and the range of products offered on shelves. Chang uses food branding and advertising to show that preferences can be engineered. Companies invest heavily to associate products with identity, convenience, or status, which can steer demand and reinforce profit margins. The discussion also highlights how innovation is not only about new products, but about packaging, distribution, and financial strategy, and how these can raise entry barriers for smaller competitors. Readers are encouraged to see that markets often reward power as much as efficiency. Policy questions follow naturally. When should regulators address monopoly and monopsony power? How should food labeling and health claims be governed? And what responsibilities do corporations have in shaping diets and environmental outcomes? By treating the supermarket as an economic classroom, the book demystifies how corporate strategy interacts with everyday consumption. Fourthly, development, industrial policy, and the path to prosperity, food becomes a way to discuss why some countries become rich and others struggle, and what role governments play in development. Moving from exporting raw agricultural products to producing processed foods, machinery, and advanced services typically requires investment in skills, infrastructure, and technology. Chong argues that successful development has often involved active industrial policy rather than pure reliance on markets. In food systems, this can include support for research, storage and transport networks, quality control institutions, and targeted protection for infant industries until they can compete. The topic also explores why productivity is uneven, access to capital, land ownership patterns, education, and coordination problems can all prevent farmers and firms from upgrading. International rules can restrict policy space, while domestic politics can distort policy toward elites, so there is no simple recipe. Still, the book pushes readers to evaluate development strategies by outcomes rather than ideology. Food examples make it easy to see the difference between capturing value through branding and processing versus remaining dependent on volatile commodity prices. This section frames development as a long-term transformation of capabilities, not just an increase in trade volumes or short-term growth statistics. Lastly, inequality, labor, and the social costs of cheap food, a recurring theme, is that low prices at the checkout can mask costs paid elsewhere in the system. Food supply chains involve farm laborers, factory workers, delivery drivers, and service staff, and their wages and security shape both inequality and the resilience of the food economy. Chong uses everyday meals to illuminate how bargaining power influences who captures economic gains, and how labor market institutions, migration policy, and union strength affect outcomes. The topic also connects to public health and the environment. Highly processed diets can reflect incentives created by industrial agriculture and mass marketing, while environmental damage from fertilizers, water use, and long-distance shipping can be treated as externalities not reflected in prices. Readers are prompted to consider the trade-offs between convenience and sustainability, and between efficiency and fairness. Policies such as minimum wages, stronger labor standards, taxes and subsidies that account for health and carbon impacts, and investment in local capacity are framed as economic choices rather than moral add-ons. By grounding inequality in the real mechanics of how food is produced and sold, the book helps readers see that distribution is not an afterthought but a core feature of how economies function. In conclusion, this book suits readers who want to understand economics without wading through heavy mathematics, including curious consumers, students, policy watchers, entrepreneurs, and anyone interested in globalization and everyday life. It is also valuable for readers who feel economics is too abstract because the food focus makes complex ideas tangible and memorable. The practical benefit is a sharper ability to interpret headlines about inflation, supply chain shocks, trade disputes, corporate power, and development policy, and to connect those events to daily choices and societal outcomes. It can improve decision-making by helping readers spot simplistic arguments, recognize hidden assumptions, and ask better questions about who gains and who pays when markets change. Compared to many popular economics books that rely on clever anecdotes or single-theory storytelling, Chang offers a broader, more critical framework rooted in real-world institutions and power dynamics. The food-based structure keeps the narrative engaging while still addressing big debates about trade, inequality, and the role of government. It is worth buying because it equips readers with usable economic intuition and a fresh lens that can be applied long after the last chapter, every time they eat, shop, or vote. If you would like to support Hajun Chang, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.